The best thing about the Gospels is that they're real, that they really happened. They're not just cleverly devised stories. They're not elaborated on. The apostles didn't, as they were writing the Gospel, gussy up things and stretch things as sometimes we can do when we're telling stories. These things really happened. And if we meditate upon what we're reading tonight through that lens, by focusing on the fact that this really happened, then we'll be drawn to two things. First of all, this is if we happen to know what happens a chapter before. A chapter before, James and John were on the Mount Tabor. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration. They witnessed Christ in his glory. But the other thing from this gospel itself is that they have a particular idea of what Christ will look like when he comes into his glory that is based on their experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. And what they are saying, in effect, to our Lord is, when you are glorious the next time, instead of Moses and Elijah, can it be John and me? If you get to know James and John, it's very obvious that St. James, the apostle to Spain, the first martyr to die a martyr's death, was probably the ringleader. John, the contemplative, the prayerful, the one who was resting very deeply, not just resting on with his head upon our Lord's chest during the Last Supper, but with his heart, with his head resting on our Lord's heart. St. John, the contemplative, who would live for years and years after, be the last apostle to die, having lived a contemplative life with the Blessed Sacrament and Our Lady. These two brothers are asking to be in the prime positions. And our Lord doesn't immediately say, no, who are you? He says, well, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know that what I will look like when I come into my glory is that. And the moment that I'm coming into my glory, it will be with the letters I-N-R-I. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, plastered over my head, nailed to the cross. And the people who will be to my right and to my left will be likewise crucified. He says, you do not know what you are asking for. And then he says, can you drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they both say, yes, we can. And he says, good, because you will. But to sit at my right and my left is not mine to give. And so then he addresses the actual request and says, hands off. It's not mine to give you right here and right now. But I think it's something important for us to think about because this really happened. This conversation really took place. The 10 other apostles really got mad at this. And our Lord then turns and calls them all to himself and he says, if you want to be my disciple, you must be the first. If you want to be the first, you must be the last. If you want to be in glory, you must hang with me on the cross. Every one of us will carry the cross, will suffer in this life. It is a fact. It is a de fide proposition of our faith that it is our lot in this life to suffer with our Lord. And so each of us has been baptized with the baptism with which our Lord is baptized. We come to the Holy Eucharist to receive from the chalice of which our Lord drinks. And while we might have in our heads the words of Psalm 23, A table has been spread before me on the side of my foes. What table? This table, the altar of sacrifice, and who is offered on it? Our Lord. A table is sat before me in the sight of my foes. My head is anointed with oil. My cup is overflowing. And we might think of these words as a promise of abundant delight. And I think it would be best in this particular context to think of these words in the context of our Lord at the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. If it is possible, let it pass me by, but not my will, but your will be done. Father, if this chalice cannot pass me by without my drinking it, your will be done. The chalice that our Lord is to drink is a chalice filled with delight and filled with sorrow. To love is to suffer. You can't love without suffering. You can't love without opening yourself to suffering. This is what every boy who falls in love with a girl and feels like he's going to stick his neck out there just to ask her on a date. It's dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because to love is to let yourself be open to pain. And so it's very easy for us simply to live our faith like some people live their relationship life, to put up walls and to say, I'll love only so much, but don't ask me to suffer for it. Don't ask me to have any pain in my life, any confusion in my life, any suffering. Because that wouldn't be a loving God. A loving God knows the depth of suffering that he was preparing for as he went to his glory. And when he calls his apostles and us to be baptized with the baptism with which he is baptized, to be immersed, is what the word baptizo in Greek means, to be immersed. What are we to be immersed in? In his heart, in his love, in that burning fire which rages in the sacred heart of our Lord, and in his suffering. My dear brothers and sisters, if this is just a clearly devised myth, if this is simply a story, then it doesn't actually call us to something. It doesn't actually pull us into something. It doesn't demand something of us. And that's why I think it's very comfortable to treat the gospel like it's just a nice story. But to realize that this conversation really took place, and that our Lord's words, really spoken in time, are spoken to us on down through time by the Holy Spirit who inspired these words to be written, so that we might take comfort, not just when we stand with James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration and see the eventual glory which we look for, but when we stand with James and John here before the Lord, requesting that we might be with him in his glory. And it should be a request we make. We should desire that. We should want to be with God in his glory. But we better be forewarned. And being forewarned, be forearmed to meet the sufferings that God gives us in this life with courage, with joy, and with readiness, knowing that is the road to glory. St. James was the first of the apostles to die. He was the first of the apostles to die a martyr's death at the hands of King Herod. His brother John was the last of the apostles to die. He died of old age. He died after having suffered horrible sufferings of being boiled in oil and exiled to Patmos and experiencing the greatest joys of all the apostles, of living for 30 or so years with the Blessed Virgin Mary, praying with her in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament and offering Mass as a faithful priest. Whatever God calls us to, it's going to be glorious. But it's only going to be glorious when we set ourselves aside and say, Lord, let me taste the chalice. Let me be baptized, be immersed in what you are immersed in. And let me come one day to stand at your side in your glory and taste the fruit of all this good that you have done.